Let's turn again to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, where the Lord Jesus teaches his disciples to pray. And we saw that in the Gospel of Matthew, that comes on the heels of observing some practices of prayer that Jesus did not approve of. And so he turns from those in his Sermon on the Mount, and he teaches the disciples to pray. It's a little different account in the Gospel of Luke, where it's initiated by the disciples, and they, seeing Jesus pray, say, why don't you teach us to pray like John taught his disciples to pray? And in both cases, in both situations, is recorded for us what we know familiarly as the Lord's Prayer, but really is the disciples' prayer. And so we come this morning to that little phrase and turn actually from those prayers that are directed towards God for his glory. And for the first time, we come to a request that's related to our need, right? Very, very short prayer. I hope you can appreciate that. And by the time I get done with this in a couple of weeks, you'll go, I appreciate that more than ever, because you talked on it for hours and Jesus prayed it like that. There's very few words there. But it's just rich, 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 isn't it? I can't tell you how I appreciate how these words are ordered for us in a memorable way that provides an outline. In fact, I think I'm going to take one sermon right at the end just to talk about the practical use of the Lord's Prayer. So we'll get to that at the end. Let's look at our daily bread. Some of us run our homes on a pantry system, while others use the market method. Here's what I'm talking about, the pantry method. You know, it probably, the way I should describe this is the moment you need it. Let's go there. Let's talk about, we're going to make supper on Tuesday. Those of you who use the pantry method go, well, I think we'll have this. I'm going to go to the pantry. Or else you say, I'm not sure what we're going to have for supper. I'm going to go to the pantry and see what we have, and I'm going to make something out of what we have there. You organize around what you have set aside, what you have laid up, what you have stored, and you go there as the first step in deciding what you're going to eat. Or you go there in terms of getting all that you need and bringing it into the kitchen to prepare that meal. Others of you organize very, very differently. Very differently. You're not on the pantry system, you're in the market system. And so the whole thinking is different, isn't it? I know how this works. You call your husband at work. All right, you start to think about supper, and maybe even it's gals a little bit late in the day. You know, like about 4:30, you call up your husband at work and you say, hey, while you're on your way home, would you stop at Aldi? All right? I know how this works. Would you stop, just grab some of this and grab some of this and grab some of that. In other words, those of you who are on the market system, it's a very immediate delivery system. Your first thought is not to go to the pantry where you have your own private market laid in. Your first thought instead is to, well, I'm starting from scratch. I need what I need right now. And, well, I thought we had beans in the pantry. Well, I'm not sure. So just pick some up, right? So it's a really different way of thinking. These same ideas are reflected in the corporate world. Ever since Toyota adopted the system in the 1970s, here's a phrase for you, just-in-time inventory. Just-in-time inventory systems have been growing in influence. The primary reason is that if you have just-in-time inventory, you don't have warehouses full of money, right? Where you have laid aside parts and it's just resting. The supply chain issues that the world is facing right now is the nightmare scenario for the just-in-time system. Right now, that's why they're telling you right now today, hurry up and get your Christmas shopping done, because if you wait 5 minutes more, you're not going to get anything for Christmas. because of the just-in-time ordering system. Here's the way this works. I build whatchamacallits, and they are the absolute hottest thing going this Christmas. Everybody wants my whatchamacallits. And right up to today, all of my suppliers have sent me parts to build whatchamacallits just as I need them. The orders come in over the internet, and when I get the order, I build a whatchamacallit. And I expect my suppliers to get me the parts to build that whatchamacallit just in time. And that's been working perfectly up till today. And today, out of all of the things that's needed to build a whatchamacallit, I can't get wingdings. And so I got all of these whatchamacallits that are missing one tiny little wingding, and I can't ship anything. And all of my whatchamacallits are going down the line and stopping at the Department of Wingdings. Now, this is a bummer. This is a bummer. And it gets even worse, because even though my wingding people are finally manufacturing wingdings again, there are no boats to pick up my wingdings, because all of the boats are off the coast of California and they're full of thingamajigs. And so I'm not going to get wingdings until they unload their thingamajigs and go all the way back and pick up wingdings. And we're all out of luck this Christmas. This is the saddest story you ever heard, isn't it? I'm exhausted. Supply chain issues, because we are using the just-in-time inventory. Now, the way you run your house and the way you run your businesses and the way business is done today, they're not disconnected, right? That's why they're telling you to order now for Christmas. It seems worlds apart. They're actually not. We would all be wise to consider our pantries. We would all be wise in this day and age to at least take a look around the pantry when supply chains have proven to be so vulnerable to interruption in our day. With the Lord's Prayer, listen, there is no pantry. There's no pantry in the Lord's Prayer. There's no Amazon subscribe and save automatic order. All right? Jesus, I'm ordering bread today. Could you deliver that once a day for the next 10 years? We'll revisit the order and see if I want to make any changes. Talk to you in 5 years. That's not in the Lord's Prayer, is it? It's very immediate. This day, our daily. This day, our daily. Would you repeat that after me? This day, our daily. I really want to communicate with the Lord's help this morning the immediacy of that part of the prayer. It does not give us the luxury to pray, as long as I'm a parent, would you give me the grace to be a father? That's just not there. It's this immediacy. It's constantly looking up in the time of need and at regular immediate intervals and saying, I'm dependent, I'm dependent, I am dependent. And there's no way around it in the Lord's Prayer. So we have seen so far that we are to honor God's person. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We're to invite God's program, your kingdom come. We're to obey God's purpose, your will be done. And today we ask for God's provision. Give us this day our daily bread. In the next couple of weeks, we'll also seek God's pardon and plead for God's protection. So very, very simple prayer that Jesus prays, and yet it expands before us. As we look at the simple requests he made and modeled for us, we see a whole world of prayer opening up before our eyes. First thought I want to give you this morning as we consider giving, give us this day our daily bread, is petition's posture. It's posture. It's one of dependence. It's the prayer of a child to a father. It's the prayer of a subject to a king. So grant us. Let's not take for granted that God shows us his desire to bless. You just can't move that through that too quickly. His kingdom we already celebrated, his glory acknowledged. And so the fact that he says, when you pray, you may ask, is no small thing, is it? The fact that this great king who dwells in unapproachable light says, when you pray, it's not just about praise. It's not just about submission. You may also ask. And our jaw drops. I, this subject of this kingdom, who could I be that I would ask anything? Now you look at all of the manifestations of God's glory in Scripture. You think especially of Daniel in the Old Testament, and you think of John in the book of Revelation. Do you ever remember any sort of manifestation, whether it be of angelic being or some sort of theophany, a manifestation of God himself, where immediately upon seeing that vision, the person goes, ooh, can I ask for something? No. Drop to the ground, right? It's nothing but the subservience. It's nothing but submission. It's nothing but worship. And yet here Jesus says, when you come into the presence of the king, guess what? You can ask. You can ask. So let's not blow by this too quickly. Our gratitude should be overwhelming. This invitation proves that he is truly both king and father. Both king and father. The Greek word is didymi. It's a simple word meaning to give. Give us this day our daily bread. But as Strong's Dictionary notes, the tone of that word is really, really flexible based upon the context that it's in, right? So in light of your kingdom come, your will be done, the words directly in front of this, I think we've got to not be thinking, gimme, gimme, gimme. That wouldn't fit that context at all. I think grant us or bestow on us would be more to the heart of this request. Grant us or bestow on us the daily bread that we need. Since this is Jesus' model prayer for his disciples, I think it's more than a hint at possibilities. He does say, you may ask, but it's not simply a, you know, if you're ever talking to God and you get a hankering to ask for what you need, it's stronger than that, isn't it? When you pray, pray this way. Jesus' model prayer says don't skip asking for daily bread. It's not just a hint at possibilities, it's an actual challenge to do it. It is God showing his lack of interest in us becoming independent, self-supportive children. It's God showing, as Father, his lack of interest in you ever becoming self-supported or independent. Now, that's contrary to our mindset. As parents, we push and we pray that our children will learn independence, right? We encourage them. That's what we're raising them up for, that they'll be self-reliant, independent people. But listen, there are few things that are more wearisome than a child, a small child, that has no inkling that he is dependent. Am I right? We like to call that little boy, that's my grandson, oh, look at the little man. He is not a little man. We hope he will be a big man one day, but right now he's a little boy child, and if he starts acting to me like he is a little man, I don't take well to it. I want him to act like a child as long as he is a child. Dear boys and girls of your Heavenly Father, he does not want you to act all grown up. He wants you to act like the child that you are. He wants you daily to come into prayer and say, grant me. I am dependent. I am dependent upon you. I am not self-sufficient. I need what only you can provide. Listen, the child he knows he is a child is the more mature child. The child who knows, if you've had several children, the one that gives you fits is the one who does not know they're a child. The child who knows he's a child, knows where he fits, is the one that's easiest to get along with. You want to be that child before your Heavenly Father. The one who knows you are dependent on your Heavenly Father. Now, this prayer in no way contradicts the wisdom of hard work that sets aside something for the lean times. This prayer in no way contradicts the idea of filling up your larder, filling up your pantry and putting things just in case we have supply chain issues, just in case, oh, it seems crazy to think about, but that you can't get toilet paper. This prayer doesn't argue against that, but it absolutely stresses immediacy, doesn't it? It stresses immediacy. Provide for tomorrow. Yes, that's wisdom. That's the book of Proverbs. Provide for tomorrow, but pray every day. Provide for tomorrow, but pray every day. Petition's frequency is daily. Petition's frequency is daily. This day, our daily. Now, I don't think that it's legalistically 24 hours, all right? I think there's something to that. It's not a throwaway line, but I don't think it's legalistically 24 hours. There's nothing wrong with praying for provision midday, for instance, right? So we're not talking about, you know, you can only do this once a 24-hour period, make sure that it fits within the... It's not like that, but there is something more than... He's not just saying pray regularly either, is he? There's something to this idea of daily bread. I think the point is to pray in frames of immediacy that you can relate to. Frames of immediacy that you can relate to. So how might this work out a little bit differently? I think daily is a perfect one. It probably fits to some degree with all of us. But if you're a student and you got a whole day's worth of classes on your schedule lined up, you know, you might say, I'm going to pray between every class. That's my immediacy. I see the needs, the demands coming up for my next classroom, and so I'm going to pray in that cycle where I need that. All right? So pray with frames of immediacy. Most likely, the natural rhythm for most of us is daily. We kind of get up in the morning, and you can't help it. Your mind starts thinking about, well, when am I going to be back in bed? Yeah, right? That's what you're thinking of. But what's going to happen between now and then? And dear people, this is why when we get together on a Sunday morning and you say, how was your week? I don't know. Are you right? I mean, we look at each other like, oh man, now I got to think about that. How was my week? A week's too big of a cycle. It's just too big. Yeah, some of us who aren't suffering in the mental deterioration area, we can probably reconstruct a week if we're really pressed. But we got to stop and think. A day? Yeah. Yeah, a day. Daily. Immediacy. Ask God in that just-in-time sort of a way. Ask God for these requests. Maybe not only timely, I wonder if we could also include situationally appropriate, since this day, our daily, rarely looks like that day, daily, right? This day, our daily, so an immediacy and a situationally appropriate prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. God is pleased with faith that believes tomorrow's manna will be there. Let me say that again. God is pleased with faith that believes tomorrow's manna will be there on time tomorrow. That's what God wants from you, that sort of faith. Now, this brings up, I'm inserting manna You know the connection. Give us this day our daily bread. You know the Old Testament story. We're going to rehearse it here just a little bit. And let me tell you, your spiritual story isn't told until you started gathering manna. All right? It's that important. Your spiritual story is not told until you understand what I'm saying when I say you're gathering manna. That is, you're gathering God's provisions for the day. It's crucial to your experience in Jesus Christ. So manna, it's one of the most fruitful meditations from Old Testament history. Exactly what took place when God provided manna for the children of Israel. Let me take you back there just quickly here this morning and review that. Israel Gen 1 is the one that was redeemed in Egypt. The nation was created, crossed the Red Sea, and then went into the wilderness, right? It's important to think about these things because Israel Gen 1 was much different than Israel Gen 2. So Israel Gen 1, they're coming out of Egypt, and it was very important that God not provide them manna, not only to supply their physical needs as they went through the wilderness, 40 years, remember, because God took them in a roundabout way, but that God provide them food, but also, listen people, to break a slavery mentality. Do you realize this people was in Egypt for 400 years? And God was asking them to go over to Canaan and suddenly become a new nation, a people. You know how these kinds of things have effects on generations. From slavery to a self-governing people in one trip across the desert? Are you kidding me? So this manna was not just a product of something that could fill up their tummies. It was breaking a mentality where they were slaves under Pharaoh and serving him, and what they got was simply leftovers from Pharaoh, to, on the other hand, saying, we have a God who is king over us, and he provides graciously to us. All right? We are secure now in God's provision. So God not only fills their bellies, but he teaches them a profound lesson by giving them manna. We need to know God as the provider of sustained life. That's Israel Gen 1. So in Exodus 16, verse 4, or 3 and 4, would that the Israelites said, would that we have died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread and to the full. For you've brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Verse 4, then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I'm about to rain bread from heaven for you. I love that. We thought that was a modern expression. It's going to rain up. It's going to rain bread from heaven. Are you ready? The end of that same verse, Exodus chapter 16, verse 4b. Well, let's back up a little bit. Behold, I'm about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day. Purpose clause. That I may test them. Oh, I thought he was just blessing. Well, yeah. And test whether they will walk in my law or not. So you remember there were stipulations, right, on this manna gathering. You go out every morning. You gather what you can use in a day. You store nothing, right? Because what happens if you store, you try to get enough for the next day as well? That's right. It turns out like what you got going in the back of your refrigerator right now, right? It's not going to be provision for you when you want it. It rotted. Now, with the exception of the sixth day on the day before the Sabbath, then miraculously God says, yeah, on this day you can gather 2 days' worth, and it will last through the next day. So he was testing them. Wow. 40 years of, are we going to be hungry today? 40 years of going to bed. Well, there's no food out there. I looked. There's nothing but barrenness outside. Sand, cactus, scorpions, nothing. Are we going to go hungry? And 40 years of, nope. 40 years of waking up, and there's the provision again. 40 years of going to bed with absolutely nothing to survive on and waking up with all you need. All right? Does that burn a lesson into your mind? You bet it does. God provides. Now, Numbers 11, verse 6, you know the story. How is it possible that the manna could be despised? How is it that that miraculous provision could be despised, and yet there it is? I'll leave that for your meditation. Let's go to generation 2, shall we? Gen 2, Israel, they come into the promised land. Joshua 5, verses 10 to 12. While the people of Israel were encamped at Gilgal, they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month in the evening on the plains of Jericho. And the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate of the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. And the manna ceased the day after they ate of the produce of the land. And there was no longer manna for the people of Israel, but they ate the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. Whoa, 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 what? What? God's not going to provide anymore? No more sustained life? New generation, new lesson. Generation 1, they needed to know God as sustainer. They needed daily provision. Gen 2, an entirely different lesson. Here, I think God wants to avoid a want more, do less mentality in his children. They learned that lesson. The new lesson of the promised land is that God offers abundant life. Remember? All the produce of this land was milk and honey. It was fantastic. But it requires a disciplined harvest. Generation 2, new lesson, no manna. Both are important for us to understand. These lessons come in sequence in our Bible. They come in sequence oftentimes in our own experience, but they build. You don't jettison the first one when you come into the second lesson. You hold the two together. Now, this manna was preserved and memorialized even after its daily provision stopped. Do you remember? God said, take a little bit of that and put it before the presence of the Lord, and I'm going to preserve that. So keep this in mind. God is your sustainer, even as you come into Canaan and start farming. Even as you start to get all that produce, even as you get that honey, even as you discover that milk, and all of this starts to thrive, remember manna, all right? God sustains, and you discipline and accept God's provision in an abundant life. Let's not miss the focus of manna. This day, our daily. This day, our daily. You don't honor God by staying out of his throne room so he can do his work. That might have been a pattern with Dad, maybe even more so with COVID and people staying home and having an office in the house. And you think in our pattern is, well, you got to stay out of Dad's way. He's providing for the family. That's not what God is asking here. That's not what Jesus is teaching us. Jesus is saying every single day, every single time, go and ask for provision. This is what the Father wants. He wants you to demonstrate dependence. Last thing here this morning, of course, petitions ask is for basic provision, bread. The ask of petition is for bread. Bread is basic provision. You'll recall that in Jesus' time on earth, he provided loaves when people needed lunch. Physical bread. Ask for your physical needs. But you'll also remember that Jesus told his hungry disciples on one occasion, I have bread to eat that you don't even know about. Now, he's not talking about that biological resource. He's talking about a spiritual nourishment. And he referred to that as bread as well. He got all of his provisions from the Father. So Jesus is saying, on a timely basis, daily, This day our daily, ask for what you need. Ask for what you need. When you do, you honor God as Father. Keep in mind that a wise parent will differentiate between a need and the interpretation of a need. All right? A wise parent will differentiate between a need and the interpretation of a need. And so you will come at times into the presence of your Father and you'll say, I need. I'm here. Here's what I need. And he will listen and he may provide something else because he understands what the true need is. So be advised that even in our human relationships, a good parent will listen to a child, listen carefully, and interpret what the real need underlying might be. All right? That's the first note. Then one other one that Tim Keller pointed out, a lesson that I have appreciated. God may give you value in kind. When you say, give me my daily bread, sometimes, again, like a parent will do, we're learning from these analogies, so not necessarily scripture authority here, but God will give you value in kind. Like when you say to your child, I can't play with you right now, that's a no. But if you are patient, when we are done, we will go get ice cream, go fishing, we'll do whatever, right? So sometimes there is this idea where he will not answer your specific request. Remember, he's got a bigger agenda, bigger fish to fry, but he'll say, but if you are patient in asking, I'll have something else for you. So we have to trust. When we come and we say, Father, give us this day our daily, we also trust his wisdom in these prayer requests, don't we? Now, the ultimate surpassing value in all of these things when we pray for our daily bread is praying for Jesus himself. We sang the chorus talking about how Jesus is the ultimate and final need and that there is no other satisfaction that begins to compare with our relationship with Jesus Christ. So as we're praying for daily bread, absolutely, we're thinking physical provision. We're thinking grace to make it through the day in terms of our circumstances. But beneath even that, we're praying, give me Jesus. Those around Jesus in his day said to him, what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, sir, give us this bread always. Not daily. Give us this bread always. John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. When you pray, our Father in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, the most profound prayer is taking place. You're praying for vitality in the person of Jesus Christ himself. Some of us run our lives on a pantry system, not just our homes. Some of us run our lives on a pantry system while others use the market method. Those of us on the pantry system, we toss off the covers in the morning and it's time to start the day. And our first thought is, what resources have I accumulated? You know, how smart am I? How good am I at manipulating other people around me? Am I emotionally strong for this day? Am I rested? And we're looking in the pantry, right? Here's what's going on today, and our very first step is to go to the pantry and to look what kind of resources we have accumulated that might enable us to get through that day. We're living on a pantry system. I think Jesus here in teaching us through his prayer that we need to live on a market system. And that takes faith. That takes faith. That takes faith that God is going to deliver just in time. what we need. So he teaches us to pray, this day our daily. New day, new grace. New day, new grace. Not resources that we have stored, but grace that God will give to us just in time. Resolution, maybe this one for us today, having heard God's word. No more childish acting self-sufficient. No more childish. Much more childlike demonstrating dependence. Much less childish independence, much more childlike asking for daily bread. That might be a resolution. God says, come. God invites you and me, is inviting you and me today, and saying, come. Each morning, all the grace you need, and not a bit laid up. Come. Every morning, all the grace you need, and not a bit laid up. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this next segment in the Lord's Prayer. Again, so timely, so significant. In just a few words, and yet we begin to glimpse that if we do pray this way, it will set us in a frame of reference, set us in a frame of mind to be responsive to you as an obedient child. I do pray, not just that we'll learn the lessons as we listen to the words on Sunday morning, but that your Holy Spirit would drive these lessons home. Give us the courage to try this. If it's not been our custom, if we've been dedicated pantry goers, give us courage to rise up tomorrow morning, first thing, and say, give us this day our daily. Give us this day our daily. I'm looking to you, Lord, not in my own strength. I'm looking to you. Heavenly Father, teach us what it means to live by faith. In your Son's name, in Jesus' name, amen.